Okay, today's shiur we're going to dedicate Lazech Nishmas Zelda Chana Bas Shalom Simcha Levi. This is Zelda Matslavsky, who came to the shiur for many years and was very loyal in coming. As a matter of fact, she got other people to come to the shiur. She came to Agudas Yisrael conventions for many years together with Yibadal L'chaim Tov, Mrs. Hachhauser. And today's her yard site. Today's her first yard site. So Mrs. Hachhauser wrote a few words of Zikaron, which I'd like to read to you. It says, and some of the things we actually said last year when after Patira. It says, she was Machshav and Machzat Torah, it was a Baal Chesed and Baal Tzedakah, involved with many good causes, Kir, Shaduchim, helping people get jobs. She was very kind and giving person with time, money, and actions. She was a mentor to a woman in California through Partners in Torah for many years. Her mentee is from today. I could see that she'd become because of the role model, not just the Torah she taught her. She saw the positive in others and always had a kind word to say. She walked with Hashem, Davin, said Tillim, and would attend many shurim, constantly growing and served in the committee of many tzedakah organizations and events. She raised 5 beautiful children of a Torah Dika, Dor Yisharim, 4 daughters and a son, and with many wonderful grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She works as an auditor, accountant, investigator for the federal government EPA department. Until she retired, she obtained her accounting degree while she was still a mommy at home. 2011, she fulfilled her lifelong dream, made Aliyah by herself. She went back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and New York to attend family simchas and spend Pesach and some Yom Tov with her family. She settled Ramat Beit Shevis, loved living there, and in Eretz Yisrael. She made new friends there as well. She was taken back to herself for her final resting place. When she was nifter, you would never know by how she looked, because she always was, and this is true, she always looked like a much younger and very, very vibrant person. She was a beautiful woman in and out. May Zelda, Chana, Basrub, Shalom, Simcha Lev, and Aliyah, and may she be a Melitza Yashar for her family and all of Klal Yisrael, Tei Zichr Baruch. And everything she wrote is Emes Lamita. Okay, this week is Parshas Pinchas. Of course, we have another dramatic event of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen getting up and doing his demise of Kanoyas, the act of being jealous on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And let's just learn a couple of the first psukim. V'yidaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, heshev eschamasi, says that he took away my wrath, mi'al b'nei Yisrael, b'kanos kinosi b'soichem, that he did my kanoyas, velo kilis bnei Yisrael b'kinasi, and therefore I did not take it out on the Jewish people. Pinchas, as we've said often, from the small yud, is going to acclaim, as Rav Wolfson always says, was acclaim the yudla who rose to great heights and taught us the lesson of how every Jew can rise to great heights. No matter who you are, we all encounter episodes in life which, as we spoke last week, if we're trained and we're ready for them, we can rise to greatness. And this is what Pinchas did. But there's an interesting Zohar that in Maizeh the Sefer and the Ber Moshe brings a Zohar that says what Pinchas did helped 2 neshamas. Who are those 2 neshamas? So the Zohar says like this. It says, Elim b'nei Aaron. It says, Di la'alma ma'ad ovid b'chayehum. That he helped the neshamas Nadav v'avihu. Valdok Sibe Pinchas ben Trezimni. It says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So you can read it 2 ways. You can read it Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. Or you can learn Pinchas ben Elazar, who was ben Aaron HaKohen. So the Zohar reads it in the second reading in a way that says the word ben twice, son of twice. That means that there were 2 people that he represented that were the son of Aaron. Who were the 2 people that were the son of Aaron HaKohen? Was Nadav Avihu. And therefore, when he did this, it says that the neshama of Nadav Avihu went into him. Nisarbam nishmasam shal Nadav Avihu. This is the Zohar. Nimsa shibut shalifnei akein ahay b'nai shal Elazar. Shabai shalifnei akein ahay b'nai shal Elazar. Before he was the son of Elazar, he now became the son of Aaron HaKohen. And it says, Chazal tell us, that when did he become a Kayin? He wasn't a Kayin until now. It says, Hashem made him into a Kayin at this point, because he took on the neshamas of not of Aviyu. And a matter of fact, it says in the Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel that Achrei Moshne Bnei Aaron trained Bnei Aaron Kahanaya Rav Revayim, that they were roy to be the Kohen Gadol. So Pinchas now and became roy to become the Kohen Gadol because of what we did. What do the two have to do with each other? What does Pinchas ben Elaz ben Aaron Kohen have to do with Nadav Aviyu? They were his uncles. But in what sense was he misakin what they did? So the Ber Maisha says that what was their sin? There are many things that we've talked about over the years, but one of them is that they were probably one of the most common explanations. They were Meir Halach Bifnei Rabba. They went without asking. And because they went without asking, that's where they were punished. It could be had they asked, you know, they would have gotten a yes answer. But you know how there's an expression, Merfekt Ver Treif, you know, something in Yiddish that says, sometimes when you ask, you're afraid to ask because you might get an answer you don't like, so you don't ask. So I don't know. But whatever the reason is, they didn't ask, they didn't ask. As opposed to Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Because the Torah tells us, the Chazal tells us, that Pinchas did ask. We have a halacha that Pinchas went over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said like this, Achi Avi Abba, my great uncle, Loikachli Manateni Beridicha Mehar Sinai, didn't you tell us when you came out from Har Sinai, Haboyal Aramis Kanoyim Baigambay, that if somebody does a sin with an Aramis woman, that a Kanoy is supposed to kill him? Amrlai, he said to him the famous words, Krina de Igrisa, Krina de Garta, Iulahavi Pravankna. The one who read the letter, he should be the one who does the work. If you've ever been in a meeting, and there's a bunch of people sitting around, and somebody makes a suggestion, so what does everybody say? Okay, you made the suggestion, go do it. So he said, you made the suggestion, go do it. But he didn't tell him. He didn't tell him because he could not tell him the halacha is you're supposed to do it. Because it's kanoyim pagim. What does kanoyim mean? Somebody whose heart is warmed up so much for the Ribbono Shel'olam that it bothers him. He can't take it. Somebody did something, you find it's funny in shul. You find somebody talks in shul when they're not supposed to. So most people just, you know, whatever, they mind their own business. There's always one guy who's a kanoi. He's the guy, mom or a lady, I'm sure, same thing as a lady in the Vabashil, same thing happens. There's one person really bothers them and they get, you know, they do something about it. So what was the commonality between Nadav Aviyu and Pinchas? That Nadav Aviyu's heart burned with love for Hashem. And they did it. And because of that, they didn't follow proper procedure and they were punished. Pinchas also his heart was burning, but he did follow the proper procedure. So therefore, Pinchas now became the inheritor of Nadav Aviyu because of what he did for them, because he was the one who was misakin, who rectified that which Nadav Aviyu had done improperly, and he did it properly. And therefore, says the Zohar that he became the shnumbas of Nadav Aviyu went into him. Now, in Yitzhak Hashem, hold on to this vort, because we're going to go through something else at the end of the shir, and we're going to come back to this, and it's going to be very beautiful. How, not, and if I forget, you'll remind me. How, Nadav Aviyu, what does that mean, they went into Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen? It seems like a very amorphous thing, that Shama went into them. What is it? Vos meintes, what does that mean? So Yitzhak Hashem, we were going to say two things now from Galinsky, and one of them is going to have a direct effect on what we're going to say about Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So let's take a look. If you take a look in your Chumash, let's move on a little bit in the Parsha, and let's move on to the next episode that we find in the Parsha over here. What's the next episode that we find after the Mice of Pinchas? So it says Hashem is now going to, says, Sroris and Midyan and Vikisim Asam, Kitzorim Heim Nechleim, we're going to go after Midyan. But in order to go after Midian, before we get to that story, it says that Hashem made account of the Bnei Yisrael. Vayhi achra magefa, in Perkha Vav Pasuk Aleph, it was after the magefa. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, top of page 459, Hashem says to Moshe, al Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, lemer, su es reish kol hadas Bnei Yisrael, lift up the heads of all the Bnei Yisrael, vi ben esrim shon of amal, 20 years up, we need an army. We're going to go fight with Midian. We've got to have an army. Let's see who we've got in the army. Let's see who's there. So they're starting to make a count. So look in Pasuk Hey. And in Pasuk Hey, it tells us the beginning. Now we're going to go through each of the Shivtei Ka, and we're going to say who they are. So who does it start with? The first was Reuven, Bechor Yisrael, Bnei Reuven, Chanoich. And then it says, Mishpachas HaChanoichi. After every single one, go through three or four psukim, you'll take a look, you have a chumash in front of you, for those who do, and you'll see after everyone it says, the Bechor Yisrael, Bnei Reuven, Chanoich, and it'll say, Mishpachas HaChanoichi. Lefalu, Mishpachas HaPalui. Lechetzron, Mishpachas HaChetzroini. After everyone it says, the name of the Mishpacha. And Rashi notes that before everyone it says a hey, and after everyone it says a yud. Ha Chetzroini, Ha Karmi, Ha Palui. Every single one says it like that. So Rashi wants to know, why do we do that? What do we need to say that for? Why can't we just say Mishpachas Chetzroini? What's Ha Chetzroini? Or Mishpachas Chetzroini? Why do we need to say the hey before and the yud after? So take a look at Rashi and Pasuk Hey. Rashi tells us, Lefisha Yumais Ha'umas Mevazinaisam. Because the nations of the world were making fun of the Jewish people. They were mevazin them, they were belittling them, they were scoffing at them, they were scorning them. The Aimrim, and they said, Ma Elu Misyachasim Al Shatayim. Why are they doing this according to their shevet? They're giving got the word out, I guess, must have been in the newspapers today. The Jews are counting all the Jews. So they said, why are they doing according to their shevet? Svurmein shloshalta bambi mosayim. Is it possible that the Mitzrayim didn't rule over their mothers? In begufim hayim mishlam. If they were able to rule over their bodies and over themselves, kavachar mishosayim, they ruled over their wives. So the people, the world were saying, like by Avimelech, with Sarah, well, we don't believe that these are all Jews. The Egyptians were their fathers. They all had Egyptian fathers. What are you telling me these are all these Jews? How's that possible? Lefika, therefore, says Rashi, Hid alakosh borosh shmolem, Hashem put his name on every last one. Hey, mitzadzeh, v'yud mitzadzeh, because the word, right, says, yud, hey, is one of the names of Hashem. Right? It's one of the things, right? Vilchamas Hashem v'amalek midor dor. We have the Yud Kain, right? That's one we separate. We have the Kiva Ka Hashem, Tzuroi Laman. The word Ka is one name of Hashem. So Hashem put the Hey in front and put the Yud in behind to show that was the Shem Hashem. Hey mitzadzeh, Yud mitzadzeh. Loimar to tell us. Meir ani aleichem. Hashem says, I testify. I, Hashem, testify. Shem b'nei avoseihem, that they are the sons of the Jewish people. They come, it says, from the shevet of Reuven, they come, the father's Reuven. There was no Mitzrayim. We know it's one of the great miracles that happened during Mitzrayim. We'll see later, maybe why. One of the great miracles is that the Jewish people were all chaste. They were all holy. And the Mitzrayim didn't shepherd them, which is takanes. So he says, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam did. He put their name. Okay, and he says, that's why it says, on David it says, Shivtei Ka, Eidos Yisrael. That's why David HaMelech says in Tillim, Kuf Chabbeis, that Shivtei Ka, Eidos Yisrael. The Shivtei, the Shvatim of Ka, are an Eidos that they are Jews. They really are, they have Jewish fathers and they have Jewish mothers. And that's what he says. Hashem Azeh Mein Aleim L'Shivteim, to tell us that these are all Jewish people. So says the Rashi, that why does it say Mishpachas HaChanoichi? To tell you that the Hey is, and the Yud at the beginning, are the Shem Hashem. So you should ask me a question. That's the Shem of Hashem. The name of Hashem is on each one of them. So ask me a question. And this question is asked by the Sefer Maskil Ledovit. Obvious question. How do you spell that Shem Hashem? Yud, then Hey. Here, what do we put first? The Hey before the Yud. So ask the Maskil Ledovit, HaChanoichi, why do we put the Hey before the Yud? We should put the Yud afterwards. Good cash. Okay, let's see how he gets out of it. Darsh, he brings the Gemara and Saita, Daf Yud Zayin, Darsh, Rabbi Akiva, it famous Chazal that we all know, we've heard hundreds of times this Chazal, by Shavu Brachos, Ish v'isha zachu, if a man and a woman are zaycha, shchina b'neihem, the shchina is amongst them. Loi zachu, if they're not, do not merit, esh eichlosam, they will be eaten by a fire. So the question is, what's up with a fire? We asked this kasha by Kairach, we asked it, why Dafka, you know, did he get swallowed up? Why not did he get eaten by lions? So you can ask the same question. If a man and a woman are not doing the way they should be, there's no shom, so why does a fire eat them? Maybe you should get attacked by a lion. Why? So famous Rashi, Zachu lechus b'derek yishor, if they go in the proper way, shchina b'neihem. Why? Sherei chilak eshmai v'shchina b'neihem, because Hashem put his name amongst them. Yud ba'ish v'hei b'isha. There's a yud in the word ish, Aleph, Yud, Shin. And there's a hey in the word Isha. Laizachu, you take out the Yud from the man, and you take out the hey from the woman. What do you end up with the word? Eish. And that's the Chazal, Sheish Achlas. So he says like this, why would we zaychet to God of Mitzrayim? Whose schus was it to God of Mitzrayim? The schus, Noshim Tzidkanyas. It was the schus of the women that we are on of Mitzrayim. So because of the schus, the women went in Mitzrayim, says the Maskela David, therefore she goes first. Therefore the hay goes before the yud, because all the fact that they were able to go to Mitzrayim, they were able to be in the midbar, was the schus of the Noshim. So it was the schus of Noshim, so therefore the schus of the women, so therefore the hay goes before the yud. And he adds to that, that we know it says that the world was created the hay bihi baram, the world was created with a hay. So the Chazal tell us that the shame Yud Kei also represents, in a spiritual sense, what the different roles of the husband and wife are in a marriage. That the hay baram, the creation of the world, making the world be created, bringing the children into the world, nurturing the next door, nurturing the mishpach, being the Akaras Abayis, that's her job. And his job is the yud, which is considered, the yud is considered the ruchniistic part of it. So he's the one who has to go to shul, he has to do all these things. So each one has a chelik, but together they make the shchina between them. So he says, very interesting. It says there's a famous two psukim, also Sheva Brachas Torah psukim. One pasuk in Mishlei says, matza isha matza toif. And in the other pasuk it says, a maitza ni marmi mavis, that's isha. Actually, I got it wrong. So everyone says that, was Shlomo HaMelech confused? One place he says, you find Isha Matzah Toif, and the other place says that Isha is Marmi Mavis. So what's the difference? So he explains, the difference is where she puts her hay. In other words, does she find that taking care of the hay, is that her primary or the secondary? If she sees that as the only thing, there she doesn't look, she just looks at the bias and the things she has to take care of in the physical sense and doesn't look to the ruchnias, that's as ha'isha. If she puts the hay at the beginning, that's not good. She puts the hay at the end, that's where it is. But she realized the ruchnias has to always come first in decisions that are made. By the ish, it's interesting, the yud's in the middle. Because the yud has to inform both sides of the ish. So that's how they understand it. But in any case, the obvious answer is, though, is because of the Isha they were able to come out from Mitzrayim, and therefore that's why the Isha was Zoicha to go first in the Hachanoichi. So the question is, why Taka was it B'schus Noshim Sidkanis Yotzim Mitzrayim? What did they do right that the men didn't? What was their special, whatever it is, that they were able to accomplish Yotzim Mitzrayim? And with this, we're going to be able to answer B'nai Yisosra's kash as well. The B'nai Yisosra asks, why is it that all of the victories in Klal Yisrael come through women? We've talked about this in the past. Who is the hero of Purim is Esther. Who is the hero of Hanukkah is Yehudas. You have different Yael. What's the secret of the Jewish woman that all of these things happen through the Noshim Tzidkanis? So he tells a story that happened to him, that he was once by the Chazayin Ish. Heilig Chazayin Ish. And he was standing outside in the hallway of the Chazayin Ish. And he says, while you stand out, walks from the Chazayin Ish's office, somebody the name of her, Yosef Wolf Zatzal, who that year had made the seminar in Bnei Brak. Who made the seminary in Bnei Brak?
Wolf Seminary. Seminary.
What seminary? Wolf Seminary. Wolf Seminary? Oh, good. I never. Oh, see, thank you. Okay, I didn't know about it. I didn't go to it, so I didn't. Wolf. His name is Yosef Wolf. First year he made the seminary, the Chazanish, that means it's 19. The Chazanish was Nifter in, I think, 54, 53. So, this early 50s, long time ago. It's over 60 years ago. So, he's standing outside and he sees and he comes out and he's like shaking with like spineless. And he says, what happened? What did the Chazanish tell you? So he says, I asked the Chazanish a kasha. Here's the kasha he asked the Chazanish. It says in Eiv that Eiv Amru Eiv Bikish Lifter Soilam and Adin. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Tez Zion, says that Eiv wanted to make everybody putter. Nobody should get in trouble for doing Averus. Eiv wants to get everybody off the hook. Why? Says Rashi. Midina Shalakash Baruch, Loimer, Shanusimheim. They're all an onus. They're all forced into it. Because Hashem gave me Yetzirah. What do you want from us, Hashem? You gave us the Yetzirah, so you know we're stuck. So what did he say? Here's what Eiv said to Ribbono Shel Olam, says the Gemara. Ribbono Shel Olam, Barasa Shor, you made an axe. Parasa Sadukas, you made his hoof split in order they should know he's kosher. Barasa Chamor, you made a donkey. Parasa Klutas, you made him closed up hooves. Barasa Ganeidim, Barasa Ganim, you made Ganeim again. Barasa Tzadik, you made Tzadikim, Barasa Midai, with nice Midais. And other people, Barasa Rishayim, right? Baruch Hashem, you know, my daughter, we have triplets, so now already the Kamat, Baruch Hashem, they're getting about 20 months old, so they're starting to have personalities. But like Davaru, they all have different personalities, very different. Different people. So he says, everything's got one person is a tzaddik, he's a tzaddik midas, and next person never has so Yehov says, what do you want from them? And he says, and Yehov had a point. Because we see, Taka, that we do look to this. Where do we see? And he brings a beautiful pshat. It says, we see it. It says, by Shaul and by David. There's a well-known Gemara that says, Shaul did one Avera, and he lost his kingdom over it. And David did two Averas, and he didn't lose his kingdom over it. What were David's two Averas? One was Bathsheba, and the other one was for the counting. He did, because he counted when he wasn't supposed to count. So he says, what's the difference between them? Why? The Gemara asks, what did he do wrong? Shaul did only one thing with Agag, and he did two things. So why did David save his Malchus? So the pshat we usually say is because David said, Chatasi Lashem. So and Shaul tried to be tartzim. That's the teretz that we usually give, and we've given this in the shir many times. That David said chatos, you got to know how to, you know, we get to El, you got to know how to say you did something wrong, like we said by Bilam a few weeks. So the Bilam knew how to say right. We said chatosi, and he was a smart person. But he says a different pshat. He says David was born admumius. He was red. As a matter of fact, Shmuel did not want to make him the king because he said he looks like an Esav. He looks like a thug. He looks like a hot-headed person. So how can he be a melech? And David overcame it all. Shaul was born a tzaddik. It says ben shana Shaul b'malchu that he was 1 year old when he was a melech. Obviously, he didn't become melech at one. It means he was like a 1 year old. 1 year old has no chatoyim. 1 year old doesn't have any sins. So that's what it means when Shaul was like. So he says, that's why Shaul lost it. Shaul was a tzaddik. He was judged. Hashem calls him, they call him to base, and they say, listen, we made you a tzaddik type person. You should have known better. So one thing, you're out. David, they say, whoa, you only two Averas? Not bad. You know, we thought you could do a lot more than that, David, with the type of personality Hashem gave you. So they were judged differently. So Shaul got it, and David gets off the hook. So he says, you see, we do look at a person. We do look at it. So then how do you fight the Yetzer? So what's the answer? So you know what Eov's friends told him? So Eov asked the Kasha, why should I get in trouble? Why should the person get in trouble? You Hashem made him a Yetzer. So the Gemara says that Eov's answered him, Bara Kosh Baruch Yetzer, Bara Torah Tavlin. He made Yetzer and he made Torah as Tavlin. Torah is the medicine that can fight the Yetzirah. It says a person learns Torah, they get into Torah, everything they learn, as it says, Kosh Shinin and Ovis, says something, he becomes an Erech HaPayim, Michael Alo Bainai. It goes through a whole list of 48 things that are Kinyan Shel Torah. So a person who learns Torah gets all of these wonderful things. In Merchi, he brings from, I think, the Ramchal, and the Besil Sharm says, if somebody is offered a medicine by a doctor, and he doesn't take the medicine, he's committed suicide. He's shuldig. So he says, if somebody has Torah and he doesn't learn it, and then things happen, it's his own fault. So that's what the answer they gave to Eve. Barasi yetzahar, barasi Torah tafel. So ask Rav Wolf, says Rav Wolf to the Chazayin Ish. So he says, that's good by a man. A man has a chiyuv to learn Torah. So he's expected, but a woman's not her job. She doesn't have to. So where's her protection? How is she going to fight that Yetzirah, which is so obvious? Says the Chazayin Ish, L'nosh barakarosh baruch hu esat tznius. So that women, they were given that Indian of tznius, and he says that provides for them the exact difference, the exact protection that Torah provides for men. By having the Indian of tznius, that is how they were able to fight the Yetzirah. And he says, very interesting, he brings from the Gra, there are two types of Yetzirah. There's an internal Yetzirah and there's an external Yetzirah. Internal is what we've all got. External is the Sviva around us. But the external doesn't create Yetzirah. All the external does is bring out our inner Yetzirah. So the more that we fight what goes on around us, the more that we have to be Isaac in it, the bigger this is. So here's the answer. When the Yidden were Mitzrayim, it says, what does it say? That the Yidden Mitzrayim was so hard that Hashem says, K'mayis Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem al lo satzem. Don't ever do like the Mayis Eretz Mitzrayim. They were totally degenerates. So he said, the Mayis of Eretz Mitzrayim was worse than everything. So how did they fight it? How did they stay who they were? And the answer is, there was no Torah yet. So it couldn't be the Torah was Megan on them. So what protected them? The tznius of the Noshim. And therefore, that's what it means when it says "Beschus Noshim Sidkanios Nigalav Asay Mitzrayim," because in the time of Mitzrayim, the men didn't have anything to protect them yet. Only the women did, because the women had the inyan of tznius. So therefore, that's the Beschus Noshim that has protected them, and they were able to be Nigalav in Mitzrayim. And obviously, the tznius was so great that the Mitzrayim didn't shepherd with them.
So even though Shlomis was the only exception.
There was only exception, right. Shlomis Bas Dibri was the one exception. That's Halo Davru. We're talking about millions of people, and we're talking about slave owners, right? And you ever that they must have seen such a tznius in them that this was their protection. So with this, we answer also the Bnei Yisrael's kasha. The Bnei Yisrael asks the question we said before, why is it that all the victories, Esther, Yehudas, they all come to Hanukkah, Purim, Mitzrayim, they all come through Noshim. So that's the answer. It's because Noshim have that kayach. What was Esther? Haster, Aster Panai. Esther had the kayach of tznius. For 9 years, she was able to not give over where she's from. In Hanukkah, this was the whole battle. The whole battle was a battle over tznius. The battle was a mamsha battle over tznius. Rus, what was she noted for? She was noted for tznius. This was the weapon that the Noshim Sikonis used to protect Kal Yisrael and to win all the victories that they did throughout history. So that's what he says, so that we have a beautiful understanding of the inyan of the schus of the Noshim Tzikonis, Nigalav Asim Yisrayim, and that's why it says, HaChanoichi, HaPalui, and all of that. It says the Shem Hashem, to show that they were chased, but the Shem Hashem is backward. It's Hey and then Yud, not Yud and then Hey. Why? Because the women go first, because they were the ones who were responsible for the gula. The hay represents the isha, comes before the yud, which represents the ish. And that's why I did it like that.
What was Chanukah tzius again?
Chanukah, because there was a gezeira. The whole Chanukah story started, according to many fortune, because it was gezeira tibayil lehagman tchila. That there was, that they wanted to do. What? The liege lord. So they, in other words, they wanted to use them for immoral purposes, and that's why Matis Yo stood up. That was the starting of the revolution, was because of that Indian.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the Indian of Yerusha. So we have the five daughters of Tzalafchad come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, in front of the whole Sanhedrin, which by itself is a very brave thing, and they say, we want to have Yerusha just like our. That's like our father, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Ribbono Shel, and the Ribbono Shel paskins, yes, they deserve it, and they ended up with Yerusha. And then the Ribbono Shel comes and says, and now, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to tell you over the laws of Yerusha. Now that you asked, let me give them over to you. So listen to this, and this is very interesting. V'yamar Hashem al Moshe Lemor, came b'noi slavka divers, so have they spoken, nosantin l'machuzas nachle, give them an achuzas nachle v'saychartz. Then it says in Pasuk Hey, we're on page 464, Perikav Zayin Pasuk Hey, v'al b'nei Yisrael t'dabr Lemor, ish ki yamais, u'benein loy, v'vartim z'nachlos al bitay. You give it to the son, no son, you give it to the daughter. So the first question we have to ask is, why is that? Why is it that a son should get the nachla before the daughter? Nowadays we don't do that, right? People make a will, and they make it should go an hour before, and in order that the son and the daughter have equal inheritance, right? It goes to the brothers and so on, etc. And then there's a second halacha called Pishnayim. What's the halacha Pishnayim? Pishnayim means that the Bechor takes a double portion. I'm not a Bechor. So, we feel is that fair? Why should the Bechor get a double portion? So we have to understand a little bit, what is this concept? What is Nachla? What is this concept of Yerusha? You should know. It's not so pushy. There's articles that actually been written saying that they, in modern society, along with everything else, they should get rid of inheritance. Let it all go to the state. Why should it go to the kids? What did they do? They didn't work for it. The state could use the money. There's a thing called inheritance tax. A certain amount they want their piece of action, of the action, but they don't take it all away. But I saw articles where they say, why? Why should it go? What's the reason Takan Nachla goes to the family? So bring you two stories, and then we'll get to the point. First was a maisa with the Chofetz Chaim. So Chofetz Chaim, a man comes to the Chofetz Chaim, and he's got a great idea. He goes to Chofetz Chaim. He says, I have six children. And I was thinking that I'm going to divide my Yerusha not into six. I'm going to divide my Yerusha into seven. Six will go to my kids, and the seventh will go to the Radin Yeshiva. And you'll say Tillim for me afterwards. You'll say Mishnayos for me. You'll say Kaddish. All these things. It'll be beautiful. So he says, he's thinking, the Chofetz Chaim said, what a brilliant idea, what a genius thing. And he was totally surprised what the Chofetz Chaim said. Chofetz Chaim says, why do you have to wait till you die? You can say Tillim now. You can say your own Tillim. You can do your own learning. You can give your own money to Tzedakah. You want to give the Radin Yeshiva money? Give the Radin Yeshiva money. Why do you have to wait until you're gone? Why can't you take care of this in your own lifetime? Story number one. Story number two is there was a man who was preparing for the inevitable, and he calls his children in, and he says, children, I'm going to the next world one of these days, and so they say, don't worry, we'll take care of you, so his first child he calls and says, I'm going to be going to the Olam Haba. He says, don't worry, Dad, I'm going to say Tillim for you every day, we'll say Tillim, calls him the second son's I'll say Mishnayos for you. The third son says, I'll learn Daf Yomi for you. And every son is making a promise what they're going to do. Lacher Mis. Okay. Calls in the youngest son. The youngest son says, before I do that, I want to show you, I have a present for you in the basement. Okay, he says, okay, you give me a present in the basement, fine. So he starts walking down the steps of the basement, and he's followed by his son. And the son's carrying the candle. Of course, when you walk down into a basement, it wasn't like nowadays, you turn on a light, it's pitch dark. So he goes, son, what are you standing behind me for? I can't see down here, it's too dark. He says, well, it doesn't possibly to go in front of the father. I can't go in front of you. So he says, yeah, I know, but that's very nice, but Michael, my God, I can't, I'm going to fall down the steps, would you come in front of me? So he says, okay. He says, now you understand. He says, why wait, Dad, until afterwards to turn on the light? Why should you wait until it's behind you? Why don't you take the light and do it in front of you? The same you said, why don't you go now and make sure that you should have the understanding, you should do all the things you have to do in this world. Why wait until you're gone? And we should do it for you. You should do it for yourself now. The light should go in front of you. The light should not go behind you. So he says that this is why we have the whole Indian of Yerusha, the whole Indian of Nachla, is because a person has certain things to do in life. A person has certain things he has to accomplish. And he needs money for it. You have to, you want to give tzedakah, there's only one way to give tzedakah, is to have money. There's no other way. You want to buy a lulav, you got to have money. You need nechasim, that's the way it goes. But there's nobody who dies and finishes everything that he wanted to accomplish in this world. It's not the way it is. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't be that. You should, if you feel you've accomplished everything, it's teignish, you should always feel you want to do more. So a person spends his whole life wanting to accomplish, and he needs things to be that accomplished. So what happens after he's gone? The Torah says, we're going to give it to his children so the children can carry on his mission in life. They can carry on, and they can continue to do what he did in the next world. They're going to be his yarshim, not just to collect. They're going to be his yarshim because they're going to have to fulfill his mission. And there's actually a very strong thing. It says that if a person has a father or a mother who is Isaac in a certain mitzvah, there's an inyan that the child should carry on that mitzvah as well. It shouldn't die with that person. He should carry it on. So the Torah gave him the tools. So the wife, the daughter, who's now going to her husband into a new family, creating a new family unit, she's moving away from her father's house. She's moving over to her husband where they're creating a new unit. And therefore she, L'chadchila, is not part of that nachla. But the son, who has the chiyuv to carry on his father's legacy, he is given those tools to do that. And the bechor, who is the oldest son, who's really considered the head of the household, he's, you know, even there's even halachas by Shiva. If, let's say, the oldest son goes away to Eretz Yisrael, there's a child when you start the Shiva, you could end the Shiva that all the other children don't sit 7 days because it goes according to the other son. There's all sorts of halachas in that. But the fact is that he's the Bechor, he's taking over, so he's the one who assumes the father's mission in life. So therefore, that's the Inyan. That the Inyan of Yerusha is to carry on for what came before. And that's why it's such an important thing. And that's why we try, and on the yard site, we try and learn. We said today we dedicated the shir. Remember Mrs. Ratzlovsky, who some of you might remember, came all the years to the shir. Today's a yard site.
Today's the first yard site.
So we carry on, you know, a legacy. And he said, and now we go back to Nadav Avihu. Now we go back to the beginning of the shir. We said that it says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKayin, and the Zohar says, why does it say twice ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKayin? Because it can be read, Pinchas became the son of Aaron HaKayin, and it says ben twice because he became Nadav Avihu. It says the souls of Nadav Avihu went into Pinchas. And he said, so we explained why they went and so on. But now we understand what the Indian is. Not of you died, and they had so much to accomplish in life. And never they died, they weren't even married yet. And they died, and they hadn't accomplished everything they accomplished in life. So Pinchas became their Yairish. He became their inheritor. And he was able to take what they had done, and he was able to move that into the future. He was able to take their Yachim Levavo, their excitement of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, their warmth of heart and Avas Hashem, and he was able to channel that and use that. So therefore, Pinchas became the Yairish of Nadav Vaviyu, and that's maybe why the Parsha of Yerusha is in Parsha's Pinchas. So we can all learn that we have much to accomplish in this world, and Yetz Hashem, we should all daven that if we don't finish what we have to accomplish, those who come after us should finish what we have to accomplish, and we should look to accomplish that which came before us. And that's really Klal Yisrael. The mission of Klal Yisrael started with Avraham Avinu. We'll go to Yemaisa Mashiach. It's one long Hamshacha. We're all part of that glorious, beautiful chain of Klal Yisrael, the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. And that's really Yerusha. We have Yerusha. Some of it's personal Yerusha, the people we're actually related to. And there's other Yerusha, the people that we have Shaykhs to, that also is part of us, because Klal Yisrael are Ravim Zelazah. We're really all part of one. Whether blood relatives or not relatives, blood relatives, we can all do things for each other. And that's the halacha, that's Klal Yisrael. We should all be Zaycha to do great things, to be Yairish great things, and to be Mayrish great things. Okay, next year, next week, there'll be no